Turn it up, see the money ain't a thing.
Money, it's a gas.
Money for nothing and it's just free.
I wanna be a billionaire.
No sense.
It's time for Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO and 580KIDO.com. Listen, learn, interact with Brian Wiley and Steve Rausch, as well as other local expert guests. Brian Wiley is a financial advisor with Tree City Advisors. Tree City Advisors is an Idaho registered investment advisory firm. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any specific financial, legal, or other advice on this program. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment security or investment strategy. Call the show now at 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. Idaho's Money Show starts now.
Well, good evening. It starts right now, 6 minutes after the hour. Happy Monday to you. You made it through it.
Are you sure?
I was waiting for you to respond. You did. It's Idaho's Money Show, and right here on 580 KIDO. It's Idaho's Talk Station. I'm Brian Wiley, your financial advisor. Steve Rausch, you are here.
I am here.
Yes.
But I'm not breathing as heavily as you are.
I just had a quick chance to climb up Table Rock. And now, my mind is faster than my fat body is right now. So I'm pretty sure that breathing that heavy fat is actually flying out of my lungs.
And you didn't see me walk in here. Just walking down the hall, I start breathing like that. So, you know,
I wake up that way.
Fat?
That too.
I did make it in 18 minutes, which is going to be the reason why I'm coughing a little bit, which is it's fast for me, but it's not my fastest. My mind thinks I'm faster, though.
So how long does it take you to come down once you go up?
Well, I go and loop around and do these little rock trails and stuff over there. So about an hour. I just spent a whole hour. It's about 40 minutes because I poke around and go back up and then come back down. But I try to do one good climb just to get my heart going. And you know what? I feel better. The funny thing is I got home today. You guys do this too. And you know, we're all about financial health here. But part of that has got to be physical health, which Steve Marsh is here. And Steve Marsh is Mr. Health guy. I mean, health insurance guy.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
But I was tired. You get tired, you know, at the end of the day and you don't feel like doing anything. And I got home and my son looked a little bit lazy. It was almost 4 o'clock. And I said, you know, I'm going to go climb Table Rock. Anybody in? My wife's like, no, go ahead. Because I could see where she was headed. My son is like, go ahead. And then so I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And then I feel better. Right. It was just funny because you don't feel like doing it.
You have to take those first steps, and then once you get going, you're...
Yeah, then you end up feeling fine. You play some music and just let your mind go. It's 8 minutes after the hour, so the AHCA is at least through Congress. Now it's got to go up to the Senate. We're talking about the American Healthcare Act, the new one, which would replace, or it's actually part of the replacement for the ACA. So if we use AHCA versus the ACA is the old one, otherwise known as Obamacare. Right. This new one, I guess, is already generically called Trumpcare.
Yeah, and so it's made it through the House of Representatives.
It's got to go to the Senate.
It has to go to the Senate. The Senate said that they're going to now gut it and rewrite it. So.
Okay, well, I mean, isn't that to some degree what we all want, which is a well-vetted, well-written, reviewed, considered bill?
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I think the problem that you saw with it going through the machination, that, you know, the making of sausage that we saw through the House of Representatives, was that there were many of the representatives that said, "Hey, I haven't even read it, but I'm going to vote for it because, you know, hey, we
did." They actually say that this time around, because they all accused Pelosi of saying 8 years ago, and some people actually were so bold and dumb to say that again last week.
No, they were there. There were several that said, "I haven't read the whole thing,"
but
I have to vote for it because we got to repeal and replace. That's what, you know, I was elected in on, as repealing and replacing. What they're not taking into consideration is now people, there's only 17% of people that don't like Obamacare now. So now
all 17 of those actually pay taxes, but go ahead.
Yeah, of course. It could very well be the case. No, I'm just saying that I think that it was a rush to give Trump a win.
And I'm just kidding, by the way. I don't really need a bad phone call, but I'll take it. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I think that there was a rush to give Trump a win. I don't know that it was as well thought out as what it maybe should have done. So now hopefully the Senate will go back and do what needs to happen to protect the American people.
This all went through on Thursday last week. Is that right?
Yeah, Thursday
last week. And we had a call right at the end of the show had said, no, there's no way any Republican would not have read this one. They would not do that. They won't do that. And this one was, in fact, well vetted. That was the
that was the last call, kind of a summary
of the last call. Yep. But Steve, you're at least Steve Roush. At least you're saying that.
No, there were some that came out on national news and said, "Yeah, I have not read through this." And
yeah, and from my perspective, working in this on a day to day basis, I want this thing slowed down. Personally, I want this thing slowed down, and let's get every possible angle looked at. And you know, because the last thing we need is, you know, another, you know, let's
another mess that we have.
Yeah,
right?
Another mess. Let's vote for it and then we'll read and see what we got kind of situation. And they've had a lot of years in order to figure something out. I don't know that they've got it going in the right direction again, but, you know, there's going to be some change. And that's one thing that, you know, we've become accustomed to in my industry is just constant change. Yeah.
And Steve, I had a question. This kind of came up through this. You know, we had talked, you've talked on the program before about these high risk pools. Mm-hmm. And I know that this was one of the issues that was brought out through this whole process was they've set aside a certain amount of funding for states that want to try and go that direction.
Right.
And you had said that Idaho's high risk pool had actually been fairly successful.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other reports that said that other states weren't as successful or you know, some of them even failed. So have you seen that? I mean, Idaho's was successful, but other states wasn't, or?
You know, I can only really talk about Idaho's, and I can say this, that ours was managed very well. There was a good group of people that were involved in that. Most of those individuals are still involved in it because we still have a high-risk pool. We just don't put people into it anymore. There's still, I think I heard the other day, there's about 44 people still on that program. And it was funded right. It worked well. In fact, we became a model across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some states, you know, I would venture to say that the states that didn't do it the way we were doing it probably are those that were having struggles. But here it's worked very well and continues to work very well. They still have a lot of money in their funding.
Well, my understanding of the high risk pool and the way it at least worked was that it was designed to provide so that those people that because of some form of health issue
mm-hmm.
were able to actually get insured because right. they were otherwise uninsurable.
Right. Yeah. Based on the underwriting guidelines that we had. So basically, in essence, every medical condition for the most part, if you had high blood pressure and cholesterol and maybe some other condition like diabetes, that would have definitely put you into the high risk pool back in the day. And so you'd have to choose from 5 different health plans that were available. In the beginning, yeah, they were a little bit more expensive. They were more expensive than the traditional plans that were out there. But by the time we got to the ACA, those plans were very competitive. And they in a lot of cases, they provided more coverage, especially in the prescription drug range, than the plans that were out there in the general market that people were purchasing.
Right.
So, you know, and basically what they did is they pulled those people out and they funded them differently than, and even, they're still underwritten, but they were funded differently for the claims processing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess the scenario is that this bill that has now been proposed and passed through the House of Representatives, it gets rid of the individual mandate. So there's mm-hmm. There's now no requirement if it passes through the Senate, or we'll see whatever happens. But at least through this proposed bill, there's no requirement that people have insurance, except
right.
for they've talked about this whole if you don't have insurance, mm-hmm. that you're still going to be penalized somehow.
There's still a penalty in a way, and that penalty is going to be a couple of different ways. So one, we're still going to have open enrollment. Which
are a period of time.
Yeah, you're going to have a period of time, and that period of time, pay attention, is going to be shortened. So previously we had from November 1st until January 31st, 2018. So at the end of this year, our open enrollment for January 1 is going to be November 1 to December 15th. So we're going to lose 45 days.
Yeah,
and you only have 45 days. So there will be no time for procrastination. It is time to pay attention. Get involved, understand what's going on, find somebody who understands it, and work close with them. So, you're going to still have to have the open enrollment. If you miss the open enrollment, there's only going to be certain things that are going to allow you a special election mid-year. So the penalty, in essence, is going to be pre-existing. So if you don't have coverage now, you're going to walk into a situation where there'll be a pre-existing condition clause possibly put on you.
Right, and then those traditional pre-existing clauses said for a year, you're right. Uninsurable.
Well, no, you're insured, but let's say, for instance, that you fell down.
For that pre-existing condition.
Yeah, for that condition. So if you are born on a health insurance policy with your parents, you don't have a pre-existing condition clause. If you choose not to have health insurance right now or into the future, and then you come onto the program, you're going to have a pre-existing there's a pre-existing condition clause that's there. And basically, so if you fell down and skinned your knee in the last 6 months, that's going to be pre-existing for up to 12 months. And the insurance company has the right to charge up to 30% more premium. Okay, but that's only for 1 year. After 1 year, the pre-existing goes away. Everybody, and here's my gripe is, you know, everybody's out there on their social media, oh my gosh, I have asthma, I have insurance, so now I have a pre-existing condition. No, you don't.
Right, okay? Because you're on a program.
Because you already have health insurance.
Right.
Now, if you drop it, though, and then try to get reinsured, then is that a pre-existing?
63 days,
yeah,
right?
But you'll have a 63-day period in which to go out and get other coverage. So if you go more than 63 days, then you have a pre-existing condition. This is no different than we had prior to the ACA.
Right, you're going back to a similar type of structure.
It is, and quite honestly, it is a fair system. Everybody who has health insurance now, the millions and millions of people across America, they all had a pre-existing condition at one time clause.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They all met that 12 months.
No, absolutely.
So why should it be any different for anybody else?
I think the biggest thing that I think people, at least that I've, the few people that I've talked to, I haven't talked to a huge amount, but the concern is that we already had premiums skyrocketing before ACA ever came into existence.
Sure.
So if we're going back to a program that was similar to what it was pre-ACA, how's it going to change? Aren't we still going to have the same issues with our premium skyrocketing? So that's the
concern. That's a good question. I've done this for 21 years, and I can tell you I've only seen rates go down once in that time. It was a shock. I don't think anybody expected it. But quite honestly, anybody that you're sitting down with, if they don't address a rate increase at renewal, you probably ought to find somebody else to be talking to. Because right. Quite honestly, that's something I talk to everybody about.
Right.
I mean, I'll look you right in the eyes and tell you, I can almost guarantee a 20% increase next year.
Yeah.
It may be 25, and it may be 18, but it's going to be pretty close to 20.
It's going to be somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So can I ask you a question, Steve Roush?
Sure.
Would you have preferred to see the ACA just stay intact?
I would have preferred them to take the ACA and make it better. Instead of them saying, we don't like Obama, so we're going to get rid of Obamacare. Why don't you take the existing thing that we have? And just because you hated it because of the politics, why harm the public when you can take something? I get it. There's a bunch of issues wrong with it. But take it and fix it instead of saying, oh, we're going to rewrite the whole thing just because we don't want to have Obama.
Isn't that kind of what happened, though, anyhow? I mean, don't you think the AHCA has already been talked about it being very similar to what ACA already was?
Yeah, a lot of the provisions are still the same. They aren't going away. They're expanding on some things to open it up, to relieve. I kind of look at it as it's a pressure cooker. And they've done some things, from what I have read, that's going to relieve some of that pressure in there. But there's also some things that they're doing that is going to build some additional pressure that's going to start mounting on us again. And one of them is the cost share reduction subsidy. So there's a lot of people, especially here in Idaho and other low-income states, that qualify for additional help. Not only is their health insurance premiums being bought down, but their deductibles and out-of-pocket expenses are being bought down as well. And that component of the American Health Care Act is going away. As it's written today.
Okay, so the ACA, that part of the ACA is going away.
That's yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and
right.
So all of a sudden now those people that were able to afford insurance will probably not be able to afford insurance because you're no longer getting it bought down for you, right?
Yeah, so you'll still get a health care credit, but that credit, and I'll describe it here in a minute, is different than it is today. But the big thing that's going to happen is, you know, like a lot of people, instead of having a $6,000 deductible on a silver level plan, each of those silver plans has three sub plans that drive the deductibles and out-of-pockets down. So there's a lot of people that are getting $200 deductibles and, say, $1,000 max out-of-pocket. Those plans, that stuff's going to go away as it's written today. So I think you'll see people, yeah, they'll get help on their premiums, but they may choose not to buy insurance because they can't afford that $6,000 deductible.
Right.
So voters got it. They asked for it. They got it. And now what do we have is the question. We don't have it all the way through the Senate yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
We're going to find out. The Team Super of Napa Studio Hotline's open if you want to share your thoughts. It's 580-KIDO. I'm Brian Wiley with Steve Marsh and Steve Roush. It's Idaho's Money Show.
Dave Ramsey, afternoons noon to 3 on Idaho's Talk Station, 580-KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580-KIDO, Idaho's Talk Station.
It's idahosmoneyshow.com, where you can visit us online or go to Facebook and like us. We'd love that. You don't have to love us. You just have to like us. If you like us, you'll actually see our posts. And our posts are usually educational or at least informational about when we have events and things like that. If you'd like to join our newsletter list, we do not flood your inbox. We will not sell your email to anybody else. We use it to send you our blogs and then our announcement about events. And that's it. If you'd like to use our website, go to the Ask the Experts feature right on the front page, and you can send me an email. I'll get it right here during the program. You can also call the Team Super of Napa Studio Hotline. It's open at 580-KIDO. Steve Marsh is here. Steve Roush. I'm Brian Wiley. It's Idaho's Money Show. Let's go to Eric calling out of Boise. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good evening. Excellent.
Good. Well, hey, I wanted to provide a few comments on this because this hits this is a very passionate issue for me, and as a business owner, I've been in a unique position trying to find health care for myself and my wife and three children. And
it's tough
for us. Yeah, really tough. Well, we experienced a good adjustment in December that our premium was going up about 38% to just a little over $1,200 a month. I'm 40. My wife is 49. Three healthy kids. Nothing exciting. And our deductible was going from $8,000 to $12,700.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
So then as a business owner, that is, if I understand correctly, unless the premium exceed, your medical expense exceed like 10% of your adjusted gross income, it's all after tax. So you start adding up those numbers and they get really, really big really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really fast. And I'll say this is one of the things.
By the way, can you turn your radio down, Eric? We're getting a little bit of feedback. Are we here?
Oh.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even have it on. So.
Oh, then don't turn it down.
Maybe
just
it's my volume. Just turn it. Maybe it's my phone.
I thought I was bouncing back at myself. Now it sounds fine.
Yeah, and to your point on that is in the new act, you know, right now, in order to claim your medical expenses, you have to, it's anything above 10% of your adjusted gross income.
Right.
In the new proposed, it'll be anything above 8.5. So if they leave that alone, that'll come back down and maybe,
It used to be 7.5.
It used to be 7.5, yeah. And now they're going to, reduce it down. And that's part of what they're doing. The other thing that they're doing is on HSAs, and that might be something as a business owner that you consider, especially if you're healthy, like it sounds like you are, you're still going to have high deductibles. But in the past, we've been limited to whatever your deductible is or $6,850 a year for a contribution into your HSA account. So under the new proposed, this is huge because I have trained people for 21 years in this industry regarding HSAs and how they work. What they're looking at now is actually changing that so that you could go up to, for a contribution, whatever your maximum out-of-pocket is. So in your case, if you had a $13,100 HSA family deductible, you could put $13,000 into that account in a pre-tax environment. That's huge.
Mm.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. And I'll try and keep this short, gentlemen. One thing that I think is really intriguing, and I won't say names, but we actually changed over to a medical sharing program.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with a medical sharing program, our premium went from a little over $1,200 a month to $495 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Our deductible went from $12,700 to $1,500.
Yep.
Is that per occurrence?
And
is that how that works?
No, that's per year.
Okay.
That's per year for my family.
Yeah.
And I guess you'd say fortunately or unfortunately, depending how you look at it, our kids have had some falls and some breaks and some bones and some other exciting things already. And so we hit that 1500 about a month ago, and it's been no question whatsoever with any further bills. They've all been paid. And when I look at it from a business standpoint, these medical sharing programs, which are really just another word for insurance, but with a filtered group of participants, to me, that's the true entrepreneurial vision that we need to fix our healthcare, because this concept of just taking money from one person to pay someone else's premium, that's not going to help the root cause, which is a $400 first visit to a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No. You know, we have to look at this differently if we're going to try and actually fix the healthcare situation in this country.
Eric, I wholeheartedly agree with you. And there was a push a few years ago in the legal industry to really try and focus in encouraging nonprofit entities to get into the healthcare industry. Not the healthcare industry, but in the health insurance industry from the standpoint of these sharing programs. Because the thought was that charities, nonprofit organizations, can do a lot more heavy lifting on these type of areas and do it much better and more cost effectively than our government ever will. And so it doesn't surprise me that these type of organizations can do that. I think we just have to get more buy-in by those nonprofit entities that are willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I will say this. Sometimes those programs work and sometimes they don't. And you have the same situation that can happen with insurance. It's all about
absolutely.
Risk. And so sometimes insurance works and sometimes it doesn't in your favor. So,
well, and we had the exact same thing when one of our kids had complications right shortly after childbirth, and we had a prescription that was $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first 30 days, an insurance said, no, we won't cover it because it's not required. And even though our NICU doc said this is absolutely required for your son, insurance said, nope, we're not paying it. Mm-hmm. So, that's that other side of it, is that insurance isn't – these health sharing programs are, I think, a much more aligned program, because you can find one that fits with your values, that fits with your lifestyle, that I think is a great fit. And I hope to see these get some more traction and definitely not be end of life under the new program being pushed.
I don't know when competition's ever a bad thing.
Yeah, competition's always a good thing. And the one thing that, for those that are listening is, and I'm not sure which one you went under, it's perfectly fine if you tell us, because it just helps everybody out there. But, most of those programs still require underwriting. So I'll say it this way, is they do cherry pick the healthy people out of the market. So they can
absolutely
do that. And that's the same thing that insurance companies did, prior to the Affordable Care Act. I worked with an insurance company for years that they literally, if you were perfectly healthy, man, they would give you a smoking rate. But if you had health conditions, they rated pretty significantly. But they were a huge national carrier. And today, quite honestly, they're not in the market anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
ours has been, I have no problem sharing it. Yeah. They've been absolutely awesome. It's Liberty Health Share.
Oh, Liberty.
And and they've been phenomenal for us. They've never questioned a bill that was legitimate. They've paid them on time, so we haven't received any calls from collections or anything like that, which we'd had with our previous provider when they lost one and it was just a bit of a pain. So Liberty's been great. And yes, they absolutely have a filtering criteria to be a member, but in my opinion, it's part of just living a healthy lifestyle, being tobacco free, maintaining a reasonable body weight. Mm-hmm. These types of things, a waiting period on on pre-existing conditions. To me, they're all logical, reasonable rules. And I think that the more people become aware of them and are aware that these programs can be the solution for them, in, you know, and especially in families like ours, where we are looking at, you know, in excess of $20,000 a year before we even started getting any care.
Right. Before you ever went to the doctor. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, gentlemen. Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Great call. Thanks, Eric. Yep. Certainly appreciate it. We're going to take a break 34 minutes after the hour. I think Steve Marshall will have some comments about that. Steve Roush is here. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. The Team Subaru of Napa studio hotline is open at 580 KIDO.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580 KIDO, Idaho's talk station.
We're here for you 39 minutes after the hour. Team Subaru of Napa studio hotline's open at 580-KIDO. That's 580-5436. I'm Brian Wiley, financial advisor. Steve Marsh joining us here from Medical Plans of Idaho, and Steve Roush as well. He's your estate planning attorney, also contract attorney, by the way. Mm-hmm. We talked about business contracts this morning, worked with some clients through that. And I'm excited about that case, by the way, gentlemen, because in that conversation, I realized how much of our team is going to apply to their company, even bringing in, hopefully, our professional employer organization, which is Ataraxis. I can see some great relief coming to them for that. Dallas Millington will likely get involved as well. They'll have Steve Marsh on the team, Steve Roush. They've already got me. And we'll probably be able to really work closely with them. We've had conversations, the three of us, also Dallas included, and many on our team, talking about how we don't necessarily refer clients to each other. It's not a referral relationship. It's more, I'm doing this for my client. And not to call you guys tools, I do that off the radio, but you guys are my tools for accomplishing different things for
I'm a hammerhead, all right?
You know, you're a tool, all right? But anyway, you guys do handle great things for my clients. And that's the way I see it is I look at this for my clients. I've got a bunch of check boxes, in essence, virtual, and I'm able to go through it and say, okay, we got to address health insurance, or we got to address life insurance, or it's estate planning or taxes or business coaching for all that matter. But I've got these resources, and it all kind of came to a great example here about 2 weeks ago when I had a client tell me, he says, hey, Brian, we're getting new carpet installed in our house, and I just thought I'd reach out to you because you seem to know everybody, and we need to have somebody that will move our furniture out of the house on Tuesday morning and then bring it back in on Tuesday night. Do you happen to know anybody? And I said, why, yes, I do. I do. I know a couple young bucks that would probably be happy to go out to your house and do that. Turns out they weren't available. But my point is becoming a trusted resource to your clients to the point where they'll even ask you for movers.
Yeah,
that's the strength of our team. Mm-hmm. And it's not referring as it is me handing a client to a trusted resource to work on that client, take care of an issue. And then once that's done, then we get to continue to work. We were talking to some clients today that have done incredible things with their business, and they finally have matured to the point where they really need to act like a big business, like a middle-sized
which they
business
are.
For Idaho. They are.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. You start pushing 50 employees, you're the real deal.
Multi-state. You know, they've done well.
Yes, they have. And their business is thriving. Mm-hmm. They're making hay right now. The sun's shining. And so now is the time. I looked at this thinking, man, and it's actually going to make your lives easier. You'll actually be able to do more of what you need to be doing, which is in your specialty as the business owner, versus meddling around with shareholder agreements and understanding buy-sells and then trying to coordinate how you buy life insurance and all these different things.
Covering payroll.
Yes.
Well, and it was interesting because this is a company, like you said, they're bumping 50 employees. Mm-hmm. They're the real deal. And I was talking about some legal issues with them today, and it was deer in the headlight look. It was like, but that's so common. It is so common, particularly here in Idaho, where you get, you know, people start up these great ideas for businesses, and they're not thinking about all this legal stuff that they need to be thinking about.
No, they're thinking about doing what they're good at.
Yeah, making money. Right. Being successful.
Yeah. And they've been able to do that.
You know, they have.
Just by getting by month after month, year after year.
But they're also getting to the point where they have spread themselves out to a bunch of small startup-type ways to get their business going, that now they've got to undo all of that and then redo it with a professional team.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that, you know, business owners – yeah, there's all these things that you need to really do, and it would be ideal that you do those in the beginning when you first start up your company, because it can solve a whole bunch of headaches down the road. But it's never too late to come in and take care of those things. And that's the situation that we have here, is we're going to come in, we're going to do great work for them, put them in a position of being able to continue successful going many years into the future. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
It was good. It was a lot of fun to meet with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Great people. Yep.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
Yeah.
So in that, sometimes trying the cheapest way, finding the cheapest way is not the best way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, by the way, is Steve Marsh's concern when we were talking about these type of sharing cost insurance programs. And mm-hmm. although it's inexpensive, there's some downside that can happen with it. And you know some of these stories where people will right. say, oh, we've been on the sharing type of a plan for a while, and it stopped paying.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's a big problem, because there is no insurance. It's not another word for insurance. But the way they're designed,
it's almost like crowdfunding.
It is, yeah. And the thing is because we purchase it with the intent that it's to replace our insurance, when it doesn't work, we really don't have any recourse. But if you bought a policy from ABC company here in Idaho that has authority and is licensed to do business here, we've got multiple entities, government entities, that'll hold their hand and help them understand, you know, what their responsibility is. One is the Department of Insurance. And of course, they can always turn to the Attorney General's office. With these programs, there's really nobody that you can turn to other than yourself. And they are a product of consumer beware. Liberty is out of Florida, if I remember right. And I've heard good things and I've heard bad things, you know.
Yeah, it just depends. And it's one of those things, like you say, Steve, is that you got to just do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you understand what you're getting yourself into.
Right.
Question would be, what if something happened and they get bumped off a plan like that and they have a pre-existing condition? What would happen going into, are they going to be considered to have insurance?
Well,
be in that 63-day period right. that they had insurance, now they're off insurance and they can get in, or
right.
are these sharing programs, they're not really insurance?
They're not. So they don't meet the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. The programs have a waiver. So while they bypass the current tax penalty for not having insurance, if you lose coverage, no fault of your own, it does not create a special enrollment period for you.
Right.
So, yeah, you would have a pre-exist.
Yeah,
under the new rules that are coming.
That are potentially coming. So
yeah, and the other thing is, read them really close, because I can tell you, I couldn't tell you right off the specific ones, but I've read through lots of these different programs, and most of them are going to have some language in there about pre-existing, even after the fact. So while we accept you today, and we cover you for a condition, let's say that 2 years down the road you develop high blood pressure. Well, after 6 months, that prescription may or may not continue to be covered, and it is now a pre-existing condition.
Hmm.
And that's a problem, because if your medicine is pre-existing, so is that condition.
Right.
So if you end up in the hospital with chest pain and it's related to blood pressure, you may find yourself in a very expensive position that you can't pay your way out of.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, again, you know, it's one of those things where it works good for some people, and for some people it doesn't. I couldn't look at you and say, yep, that one works for you.
Right.
But I couldn't do that with, you know, regular insurance either.
Yeah.
I can guide you through what you tell me your needs are and what your concerns and your risk is.
And I think it comes back to, you know, we're dealing with all these things, and we're coming up with creative ways to figure out how to pay for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, again, I think that our elected officials have missed the boat again, because they haven't gone back to the healthcare industry
right.
and said, you have to bring these costs down.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to the drug industries and say, you cannot charge $1,500 per month for,
right.
you know, you have to bring these down. Now, there's a lot of people out there that would say, well, that's interfering with the free market system. Well, the reality is that you're going to free market yourself out of the ability to afford it if you don't do that.
Right. And when it comes to prescriptions, I don't know that there really is a free market there, because quite honestly, the way I understand it, and I've dealt with over the years, I've talked to a lot of drug company reps and what are called pharmacy management company reps. And, you know, here in the United States, we pay for all the research and development.
Right.
All of it for the world. And so, you know, if you live in Mexico and you have acid reflux, you're no different than somebody here. You just may not make what we make here. So you still get that medication, but you're paying for it for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
Than what we're paying
for. Same thing in Canada, right?
Same thing with Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the reason that they had prohibited us from being able to get stuff out of Canada was because the drug companies are saying, wait a minute, no, we want the Americans to have to pay.
Right. Well, and see, with their system is the government buys the drugs.
Right.
And then provides it out to the pharmacies or the, even up there, they have pharmacy management companies. And then they start selling it over, you know, to us across the way. And we had this huge, huge industry that started. Well, eventually those drugs, you know, ran out.
Right.
And, of course, the manufacturers here in America said, well, listen, you're only going to get X amount of XYZ drug. So when it's gone, it's gone. Because you're not going to just sell it back across here for less expense.
Right.
You know, when we're trying to compete against ourselves.
Right.
Not going to happen.
Right.
So, yeah. So we got to get the cost of care under control. And until they get that, you know, they can do whatever they want. They, you know, just get those printing presses running. Because that's what it's going to take.
You the know? Fed knows how to warm those up.
Maybe Brian can help us with that. He's the money bags.
Yes.
Us.
That's right. Brian can manage it.
Call HP.
Yep.
Idaho's Money Show on 580KIDO. This is Idaho's Talk Station. I'm Brian Wiley with Steve Marsh. Steve Roush as well. Gosh, I don't even know what I'm saying. Did I already say I'm Brian Wiley? I still am.
Steve Roush.
Take a break. And Marsh. Be right back.
And we're back. It's Idaho's Money Show, 580KIDO, Idaho's Talk Station.
54 minutes after the hour. We've got some great interviews coming up, by the way. Dallas Millington hooked us up. With a very notable interview that'll be tomorrow night with Tommy Alquist, who is going to be running for governor. He's tossed his name in the hat. He'll be our first interview. I think to make it fair, we're going to have to start inviting all the others as well. Kevin Miller let us know that.
Right.
I've been in the radio business now for 16 years, and I didn't know that actually.
You have to give everybody.
You don't have to until a certain point.
Point, yes.
Then that point, that line is crossed, and if you invite one, you have to invite all the others, which would be great because Raul Labrador will never show up for that one. And I'm even if he tosses his name in the hat for governor.
Yeah, he should probably not show up to anything based upon what happened the other night.
At least for a while. Let that simmer a while.
Wait, inform me.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, geez. Well, let's see.
I'll take it.
No people. Oh, do you have it, Steve?
I do, yeah.
Oh.
Actually,
I'll sit here and listen to it.
Yeah, so he was asked a question.
Uh-oh. And he had the answer one? Go ahead. Was this local?
It was in Lewiston.
It was in Lewiston.
Oh, so he was actually talking to his constituents.
Yeah.
That's good.
He was, yeah. And let me see if I can find the exact wording. But basically, his response was, that line is so indefensible. Nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. So what the question was somebody asked a question about, let's see, if I can.
Am I not understanding it? What was, I need to know the question so I understand it.
Yeah, let me see if I can.
So the question had to do with the way that they're dealing with Medicaid, isn't it?
Yeah. So somebody stood up and basically asked at the Lewiston forum, and their question was kind of ended with, people have to accept dying on Medicaid based on the funding of this new program. And so Labrador came back with his comment that, you know, nobody dies because they don't have access to health care. So he got booed and hissed. And skewered. And then on Saturday he had to, you know, his press people had to set out not really an apology. It was just like, hey, you know, I didn't get to answer my question, you know, necessarily the way it, you know, really was intended. And so anyway, he's taking a lot of heat for this. Yeah. You missed that altogether, huh?
I honestly, when I see his name, I don't even bother.
Well, what happened was I think a lot of people are having some heartburn and concern because this new bill, it is truly changing Medicaid into a block grant program. So what you're saying is that instead of Congress saying, okay, we have this set of rules as to how Medicaid can be administered, and then the states really go and administer it, and they come up with some of their own regulations. Now we're just going to say, okay, state, you tell us how many people you need money for, and we're going to give you that money, and then you go decide what you're going to do with it. And that's a problem because that's actually getting rid of the Medicaid program as we know it won't be the Medicaid program anymore. It's really going away. And so that's a problem because there's a lot of people on Medicaid, 7.2 million people the last time I checked, plus a bunch of those are elderly people. And I think that was kind of where that question came from was, well, we got all these people that are on Medicaid who are elderly. Now you're saying that they're just going to die because they're not going to have health care?
Right. And I think I was reading here this afternoon that, you know, in Idaho, 2/3 of the Medicaid budget is the senior market.
The elderly.
Yeah, the elderly. Mm-hmm.
He's not good with words, is he? Puerto Rico or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah. We're starting to wonder where he's from.
Right.
But, you know, after the whole governor's race and all that stuff, once that comes and passes, I'll start mentioning my experiences with him again. And, you know, they're not very positive. I just got to tell you that. And I think that having somebody local represent their constituents probably be a good thing and actually pay more attention to their invites to from Town Square Media or from KTVB or any of the big television stations. To give more credence to that than meet the press would be excellent. They actually speak to people and do more of these town halls and so on. Yeah, that's kind of why we send congressmen to Washington to represent us. That was just my opinion on that one.
Yeah. I agree. And so, yeah, he got skewered, and I think rightfully so, because he was inartful in how he responded. And
Hunter Buck says that if I invite him, if he throws his hat in on the governor thing, that he won't show up here. Anybody want to take that 100?
Oh, no.
Nobody wants to.
No.
Thanks so much for listening to our program. It's Idaho's Money Show on 580 KIDO. I don't do politics unless he's involved, then I'd be okay to talk about it. You can reach us online at idahosmoneyshow.com. We have our whole team there. We're ready to help you. You want to put a team approach to something, and it doesn't even cost you more. That's the greatest part.
Yeah,
it actually means that you'll benefit more. And guess what? We talk behind your backs. We get work done without you having to be there. Steve Marsh, thank you. Medical Absolutely. Plans of Idaho. Yep. Steve Roush, thank you.
You're welcome.
Law offices of Steve Roush. I'm Brian Wiley. Have a good night.
Idaho's Money Show is hosted by Brian Wiley, a financial advisor with Tree City Advisors. Tree City Advisors does not hold affiliations with any of the firms or professionals participating on this program. Log in to idahosmoneyshow.com for show archives, educational material, and contact information for 580 KIDO's Idaho's Money Show experts. Tree City Advisors is an Idaho registered investment advisory firm. Brian Wiley is a financial advisor with Tree City Advisors. Brian does not hold himself out as providing any financial, legal, or other advice. Information presented may not be suitable for you. Consult a registered investment advisor when evaluating any particular investment. This program is brought to you by quality sponsors like Team Subaru Mazda of Nampa, CapEd Credit Union, Amherst Madison Legacy Real Estate, Ataraxis, the law offices of Stephen Roush, Medical Plans of Idaho, Millington Zweigert CPAs, the law offices of Howell and Vail, Deliberate Directions Business Coaching, and Tree City Advisors.